about this. A chametz.
Coming.
And of course, we know that the chametz has an extraordinary chumrah, more than any other issur in the Torah, in a certain way. That it's also before Pesach. It starts Erev Pesach, so it starts even before this man. And chametz is also b'mashehu, the chachamim made a gezeira, even the tiniest bit mixes into a mixture, it makes the mixture prohibitive. So it must be that the chametz, what it represents, must be something very terrible, right? So the Shem Yishmor has a number of different possible representations of what chametz represents. Of course, many of these things are mentioned earlier. Other spot. So one is the idea that chametz is gava, represents, because chametz, the dough rises, so it represents that a person can allow his ego to rise and get big. Really, it's a misrepresentation, because the fact is that it's just more, it's basically air, which makes the cake and the bread rise. It's more air than anything else. So it's really nothing there, but it looks bigger. So the same thing with Gaiva, a person feels he's more important than he really is. You say, you know, even in English, it's an expression, he's full of hot air. So that's what chametz represents. So now, and this of course can lead to terrible consequences. The real enemies of Hashem, they're basically blinded by their gaiva, by their pompousness and feeling that they're so incredibly brilliant and always do the right thing. So it could lead to the terrible consequences. So that's why there's so machmir, even a mash, even the slightest trace of it has to be gotten rid of. It spoil everything that's mixed in. That's one idea. Another idea is that chametz, all the ideas are related, because it's something bad, so all bad things are somehow related. The second idea of chametz is that it's the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara does, at different places, call the Yetzer Hara chametz, or Sa'or, or Ayis.
Sa'or Shabaisa.
Sa'or Shabaisa. So he says a very interesting thing. He wants to think about it as the inclination to do evil. So he says we have three kinds of issa chametz. We have in halacha, we have chametz be'en, plain chametz like a piece of cake, a loaf of bread. Then you have chametz nuksha. This is chametz which is not edible by humans, but is edible by animals. It's like partially spoiled.
What are they called?
First is called chametz ben, beis ein yud nun. That's plain, visible chametz. Yeah. The second kind of chametz, that's the most strictest issue. If someone needs chametz ben, he's chayav kores. That's very strict. Then we have chametz nuksha, nun vav kuf shin hei. that means spoiled chametz. It's a chametz, but it's spoiled. It won't be eaten by people, but it might be eaten by animals. Okay, and that's an issa, but that issa is not as severe as chametz ban. It's also awesome. It's probably an issa deraisa, but it's not kares. It's a law for that kares. And then you have chametz b'tarovas. Chametz b'tarovas means it's mixed in the kosher for Pesach food, but there's a chametz ingredient in the food. Otherwise, it's kosher for Pesach, but there's a chametz ingredient. That's also in this chametz b'tarovas.
So that's like something that would otherwise be batal b'shishin?
No, yeah, right. No, there's certain rules in chametz and tarovas according to the Torah that it's not treated the same way as regular other things in a tarovas. The din of mashehu, that's a din d'rabbanan probably, but there may be other dinim. So there's a and that's also a different kind of a prohibition. The Rambam says that's also a lav, but no kares, also no kares. So he wants to say, what do these two kinds of chametz represent when we're talking about it in terms of a yetzer hara, an evil inclination? He says that you find the evil inclination in people three different forms. One is, if you think about the regular chametz, a piece of cake, a loaf of bread, it tastes good, it looks good. So the person wants to do this bad thing because he has a drive, he has a temptation, he has some hana, some pleasure that he's going to get from it. Whether it's stealing money, he's going to spend, enjoy the money, or some other aveira, eating our kosher food. So basically, it's what you call an aveira l'te'ava. It's an aveira you do with a ta'ava, with a desire for pleasure. Most people, if they're going to do an aveira that they know is wrong, but they'll do it because they have a weakness, they have a desire to get some pleasure. Then you have chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha doesn't even taste good. It's really animal food. So what's the pshat? The pshat is there's a bad thing, and the person himself knows it's bad, and he doesn't really have a desire. He doesn't have a desire to do it. There's no pleasure in this. But he does it because he doesn't want God to control him. He's a rebellious type of a fellow. He doesn't want to be told what to do. So he's not doing it because he gets a pleasure. It's like an animal food, because he's doing it that, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do.
Like smoking?
Yeah, it's like smoking. He doesn't want someone to tell him what to do. You never came across such a person?
Yeah.
I meet them all the time. He'll do it just because you tell him. That's why he'll do the opposite. He wouldn't say anything. He'd do it your way, but because you told him.
You should tell him the opposite.
Right. This, by the way, in fact, I was thinking about this with Rabbi Cohen today, because I mentioned this Shem Shmuel to him, so he said that could very well be the sin of Adam HaRishon, that when the Nachash told them to eat, according to the Gemara, this was regular fruits. This was either a grape or a wheat. So it was only one grape rind. Rabbi Cohen was telling me. I say it was a grape. So this particular grape rind, God said, don't eat from it. But there were other grapes you were allowed to eat from. So what did Nachash tell him? Couldn't sell him. You're going to have a great taste of grapes. He was getting it from the other grapes. He just said, because God's telling you not to do it, that's why you should do it. Don't have any authorities over you. You do what you want. You think it makes sense to do it. Why? Who is God to tell you not to do something that you think? Your human mind thinks this makes sense, so why should you given to God's wills. This is called Mumo Lahachis. He does the Chet Lahachis because he wants to rebel. He doesn't want a higher authority to dictate what he should do.
Some more graver sin?
Yeah, grave.
It's a heavier sin.
Lahachis is worse. Definitely worse. And halacha is much worse. And halacha of shechita, someone is a mumar. Lahachis, he does sins. Lahachis, the shechita is possible. Like he's considered suspect that he could do anything. He's mumar lahachis is a mumar lecholato kula. We consider he could do anything, even though. So far, we haven't seen this fellow steal or murder.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does a sin lahachis because he doesn't want God to tell him what to do, then he can do anything. That's the worst, the rasha. Now, the first one, the mumar l'teyavon, he does it because of temptation and a desire for pleasure. That's not, that's just in this area, we consider according to halacha. A weak, he's weak, and you can't trust him about that. But other areas, he's trustworthy. You don't say he's a Rasha b'chala tshava kula. It is a mumar l'teyavon. Mumar l'hachis, the halacha says, is the chala tshava kula. It's completely disqualified in all levels. So this is the tumum. This is the chametz of which you see, the which you see, the regular chametz and the chametz nuksha, which is animal food. Then we have the tarovus, the chametz b'tarovus. Now chametz b'tarovus, that's a special thing. The food basically is mutter, but inside there's a certain ingredient of chametz. Now this represents by the Yetzer Hara, what we call the Yetzer Hara B'Talmud Chacham, where you think it, where there's so much about this action which is really permissible and good, but there's something which is not so good. So a person will rationalize, I want to do good, and so he ignores sub-level aveira which is involved because of the rationalization. This is a very, very difficult Yetzer Hara. This Yetzer Hara from Jews are very subject to the Torah. Jews are very subject to see the good in the act and ignore the evil, and really it's the evil which is going to take hold and is going to be successful. And people rationalize. It's difficult. So that's the third chametz b'tarovus.
What would be in a practical example of such a thing?
Oh, practical
spoiling
example.
Spoiling your kids, for example?
Right, if you say that's spoiling your kids because it's a mitzvah to be
kind
and nice and to raise them, but meanwhile...
No discipline.
No discipline, they're going to become hooligans. So, the good part of it drowns out the bad part, at least in the perception, you don't realize it. It's always like that.
But isn't it true that any action that you can take in the world has some grain of this bad in some for someone? For example, praising, let's say you have a class in a classroom setting.
I don't take the soda. I should go. I like it plain. Just go.
For example, in a classroom, let's say you praise a good student, he gave a very good answer.
Okay.
So on one hand, you want to reinforce that behavior, that good student. You praise that student. On the other hand, let's say there's another guy sitting there, and he is envying that student, for example.
That's true. You're saying that everything good has a mixture.
Sure. Mixture.
Could be. It's true. That makes it even more difficult because sometimes, because many times you should do the good thing and let the good overwhelm the bad. What you're saying is in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos says a person should always weigh his actions, the good and the bad, and he should see if the schar and the hefset, if the reward and the loss, what
proportion.
Right. You like to get something just purely good, but it's not so easy.
Is that one of the Pesachim of Eitzat Tovah? That after the first sin, that Tovah Ra were mixed together.
Right. That's very good.
I think there's a
Tovah Ra, the Tovah and the Ra mixed. That's so hard for us to judge. Make the right call. It's a continuous problem for. One of the things that I see when I'm a Rebbe, so I have to deal with the boys with the. How do you deal with the Torah and the Mada? How much time should you put into the college? How much time? In the base of Medrash, it's a continuous problem. Because there's good, there's no good. Yeah, it's mixed in, you don't know. Exactly. It's not so simple to deal with. All these things are complicated. But for us, because we're religious and keeping the Torah, it's a special complicated thing. But the point is that the Satan, the evil side, is always trying to confuse us with this mixture of Tov and Ra. The mixture of the Tov and Ra is a special, as they call it in Yiddish, patent, a special patent which the Satan uses with Fum Jews.
I don't know if it's exactly granted, but here's Ishbet's Torah that one of Abba Rabbi in Israel likes to say, Rabbi Yolah Pasi, that so he just the Ishbet reads the Pasi, you know, I think it's the same part. So instead of it's a da tov ra lo tikach menu, he reads the Pasi, it's a da tov vira lo tikach menu. Which just sounds so simple, but it's like,
take the good and leave the bad.
Well, no, that it's all good. At some level, it's all good.
Oh, so it looks bad. Could be good.
But don't take the bad.
Don't take something good and make it into bad.
If the tree's all good, then don't take it and get bad out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's all good.
That's his topic,
this is Tov Ra. It's his main topic. He talks about that. He's trying to. I think that I was motivating him was he has a tremendous avos Yisrael. He loves Jews so much, so when he sees a Jew does a chet, he tries to spin it that it's really tov. Because it's so hard, it hurts him so much to feel that a Jew could do a sin. Do something bad, so he says, like you said, that every good has some bad, but Ishbitz is saying every bad has good, so if the Jew does it, he's in the good side of the bad.
Well, that's also what you said last week, right, for the Chet HaEgel, that the Jews they did transgress, but they did it with good intentions.
Right, that was the Shemesh Shmuel's told by the Egel, that in that bad there was good. And the Jews were really focused on the good part of the. What do you say for the Tanya?
No, I just
same idea. I believe that the this brought down on Tanya, the same idea that you always take the from everything that seems like it's bad, there's always good from it, and to bring that up.
Right, the Baal Shem Tov said that too. So the Hasidim don't accept the fact, except Amalek, that they consider to be pure evil. But otherwise, let's say the overwhelming things that we consider evil have a good side and it's redeemable. It's redeemable to spin it, to get the good out of it. Which I think is why the Hasidim were paradoxically done so well in America. Better than the Litvish. Much better. Why? Because the Litvish view of good and evil is much more black and white. Good is good and bad is bad. You don't have this spinning idea there. But by the Chas, because it's halacha. Halacha really doesn't like evil at all. And even if you have a mitzvah, but you're doing it because of something bad, mitzvah habor avreiru is possible. Halacha has very little tolerance for evil. But in the Hasidim, who come from Kabbalah, here they see everything has a good, and if it's bad, they call it a klipa. They call it a shell. The inside is going to be good. So you always are trying to spin to find the good. So therefore, let's say you come to a place like America. America, the thing is, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in America. A lot. Snus, Geneva, you name it. But, so if you're a black and white person, you either leave or you can't really deal with it. A black and white person, you have a very tough time in America, I think. If you go black and white, you got to really get out of this place. Everything. That's why the Litvisha, they came here early and they had a tough time here. It was very hard for them to maintain. They couldn't see how to do it. But then the Hasidim came later and the Hasidim see always this spinning. The outside is bad, the inside is good. So therefore they're able to manipulate here in America. They're here, but they're not here there. They're part of it, but they're not part of it. They're able to. Because I always thought that the Hasidim would not do well in America because they look so different. They look so strange. When I grew up, you had to have an American look. But it turned out that America left that whole thing of the look. It was actually a result of the civil rights movement, you know. So once they said that blacks are equal to whites, so then you couldn't say that, you know, black is never going to look like a white. So therefore the looks became much less important in America. So a chassid could dress his non-American way. No one didn't bother anybody. Americans accepted it. And the chassidim, they're able to spin and say with the good things in America, that's what they deal with, and the bad stuff, they don't deal with it. They're able to sort of filter the tov and the ra better. To filter it better. Because of their philosophy, which is, you know, whether it's Ishbitz or Shem Shmuel, whoever it is, or Tanya, it's all the same philosophy. That there's no such a thing as something, only rarely, it's Amalek, but otherwise, every evil has good, every good has evil, so you have to be on your guard all the time and know how to spin it to get to the good and to leave out the evil. Which also explains, by the way, why the yeshivish, litvish yeshivish, had a much bigger problem with yeshiva university than the Hasidish world. The Litvish Hasidish, black and white, halacha, yeshiva university is a paradox, because how can you have a college with a yeshiva? But for the Hasidim, you can spin it for good, so they don't have such a problem.
They don't
such a problem with why you.
They don't come.
They don't come, but they're not so. They don't fight it. Like before, they for many years. Now they stopped the fight. They abandoned the fight, but for decades they were fighting why you. It was a battle. About 25, 30 years. Now it's stopped about 10, 15 years ago. Okay. Now we go on to another idea of chometz. Getting back to the Amalek idea, that the Chametz if it's Amalek, which is pure evil, so that's like now he says that this evil of Amalek has a power of contamination. This is what it's an interesting point. Let's say if he thinks because it's so poisonous, it can contaminate others.
Hashikoch HaBadera?
Yeah. Hashikoch HaBadera. So they can contaminate even the Jews.
Isn't like they're able to cool off other nations?
Correct. He compares them to something tame. When something is tame, it touches something else, the other thing becomes tame. If something is just not kosher, it can touch something else, it doesn't make the other thing not kosher. But if it's tame, it does. So he claims that the Amalek is a kind of a tumor. It's really very interesting. The fact is that we see that that's true. Whether it was the Hitler anti-Semitism or the present day Iranian anti-Semitism, it contaminates. It makes other nations pick it up. They pick it up. It spreads.
What would be the metaphor of the water or liquid that makes it
a mikvah?
I mean, able to accept, right? Only something can only become tame if it's
hoksha.
Food is hoksha, the kabel tuma. There must be, in other words, these other nations must have had some hoksha. In other words, they were ready to become tame. They were ready to be infected. Maybe they had some natural jealousy towards the Jews or some other reason. And then when they meet the Amalek, he poisons them, so they become themselves Amalek. The chiddush of Amalek is that the Amalek can multiply very fast.
It's a virus.
Spreads, which is contrary to what you might have thought. You thought something so horrific, so truly evil, would be self-contained, wouldn't be so easily to spread, but it is. So that's why, since this is,
that's why chametz
can make something also b'mash. Even the slightest drop of chametz gets into the mixture, it makes the whole thing also. Why? Because it contaminates, it makes everything like itself. So even the slightest amount can contaminate everything, like tumor. Okay. Okay, that was the second. That was, the, I guess, third part. Now, there's a fourth idea. Why? What? Another idea that chametz represents. So we had gaiva, yetzer hara, and amolek. Now the fourth one, he calls sheker, falsehood. Because when you look at a piece of cake or a loaf of bread, it looks much bigger than it really is in terms of the ingredients. It's a lot of air in there. Sheker, it's a false. Now sheker, he says the symbol of sheker in the Torah is Esav, because Esav put on such a tremendous show for his father Yitzhak. And meanwhile, he was a horrible person. He was doing everything you're not supposed to do. But in front of Yitzhak, he put on this false show. So, Esav is the proponent of Sheker. Right. Anyway, Sheker, the Torah says, Aru, Midrash, Sheker, Tirchok. You have to stay away from Sheker. You really run away from it. Sheker is a tremendous attraction for people. The Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was discussing with the angels to create human beings, and he showed them what human beings will be, so they said, how can you create such a creature? This creature has such a tremendous attraction for lying, for sheker. And everything else that you created is emes. Your emes, and planets are emes, and the rain, everything just follows the regular rules. There's no sheker, but people are shekranim. God says, but they have other milas that chesed. And we see that the taka true. People have a tremendous attraction for sheker. It's amazing. Right now, this country is in a big mess because of the sheker. So, I myself am not so, I don't know exactly why the sheker is so attractive. People love shkar. Basically, you could say all the movies is sheker. Really. It's a make believe world. It's not MS. Why do people like sheker so much?
From a sociological perspective, but something you mentioned in the past, I think in a different shiur, you said that sheker has no choice but to be so attractive. Because if sheker wasn't totally overwhelming, then people would never, ever buy into it. Sheker, right, we say sheker en la'raglayim. Sheker doesn't last. It's a falsehood, which is an illusion, and ultimately you see through it. It stays around for a while, and then it collapses. So, it's just a house of cards. If sheker didn't have a jump start in the beginning, then how would you ever get drawn into sheker? Sheker has to be totally powerful in its first impression, because otherwise it will never be convincing to anyone at any point. It's going to die anyway. It's going to be exposed. It's going to come out, but not till after it hooks you in.
Okay,
so
that's a good point.
It's the power of sheker, or the power of if there was no such thing as a vera l'teavon, right? If there was no desire, no attractiveness to sin, then nobody would ever do anything wrong.
It's a blessing Yetzer Hara got from Kadosh Baruch Hu when it pleaded that who would ever want to fall prey to him. Yes, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the blessing, that first impression, that drawing him. That's why when you want to analyze if it's Yetzer Hara that's pulling you in, you have to give it some time. Think about certain decisions.
Yeah.
That's the Karach HaShekhar. So, and by sheker, it says midvash sheker tirchok. The Torah says, if you want to deal with it, you have to really stay away from it. It's such a powerful pull that if you get close up to sheker, you're probably going to succumb to it. You have to mamish be a machmir, vashek a tircha, because they're far away. So memela, that's why chametz begins before Pesach. Because since chametz is, represents this evil of sheker, you have to start it even before, stay getting away from it even before it's really there. Pesach is really when there's a problem, a real problem of chametz. But in order to get the jump start on this, I started a day before. So because in sheker, you can't just wait till you're face to face with it. Then you probably succumb. You have to stay away from it. It's really very interesting. Okay. Shkoyach botai. We should be zeicha that we'll be able to fulfill the mitzvahs of chametz.
Amen.